have got a Bible lesson this morning for the ages. Did everybody get the new updated version? Let me give you a little background on this. When I first taught this back in, it was created on August the 28th of 2016. When I did it in 2016, my purpose was to, I called it five problems that are common to man, and my primary teaching purpose was to point out the five problems that are common to man. What are those five problems that are common to man? We got a nice little group here, so we're going to get some participation. You guys are in the wrong seat, but I love having you there. Don't get nervous, Dewey. Everything will be all right, okay? What are the five problems that are common to man? If you live life long enough, you're going to run into problems with money. We talked about it last week. Is it better to have too much or too little? Too much. I'd rather have too much to try to figure out what to do with it than to not have enough. And it's God's will for everybody to be self-sufficient. Can I get an amen? Second thing everybody's got to deal with in life is fear. We've all got some things we're afraid of. Amen. I was going to go on to relationships this morning, but the Lord spoke to me about some things, and I have to go back to fear one more time. And when I get back, my next sermon will be about relationships. Bring all your enemies to church with you, and we'll talk about how to get along with them. All right, and then the third thing everybody has to deal with in life are relationships. Husband, wives, parent, children, employee, employer, church members. Of course, all church members get along, don't they, Sarge? All church members get along. There's never any infighting in church. Huh? One of the reasons why this thing's not, it's kind of empty, is there's been some infighting going on in our 27 years of ministry. But I hope I've grown up a little bit in that deal. The fourth thing everybody's got to deal with in life, the fourth thing is health. Health. And the older you get, the easier it is to stay healthy. Am I right on that? No. How many of you can testify that the older you get, it takes you a little longer to get loose in the morning? Can anybody testify to that? Huh? And even Sarah got a thumbs up on that, and she looks like the picture I held. Anyway, I play way too much golf, and one of the things that happens when you play a lot of golf is you have some symptoms around your back area, and it takes me a little while sometimes to get forward. But once I'm up, I'm up. Can I get an amen? But God wants you healthy. Oh, I'm going to talk on that. I've been reading Matthew's gospel in my own personal Bible study. And I'm telling you right now, anybody that doesn't understand that Jesus is the healer is not reading the Bible. You're just not reading the Bible. Or you've been completely misinformed by your religious organization. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Can I get an amen? Amen. The fifth thing that everybody has to deal with is death. Now, there is going to be a generation. I don't want to get too bogged down on this, but I'm flowing right now. There is a generation that won't die, and we could be it. We could be it. We could be just get up one morning and Jesus come and get us. Amen. And we don't die. But if he don't come get us, guess what's going to happen to it? We're going to die. Somebody said, I can use my faith and live forever. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can use your faith to die gracefully, to die in peace, to die without sickness and disease, but it's appointed unto man once to die. And the reason you die is because our bodies have not been glorified. Our bodies have not been glorified. The blessed hope of the church is for the glorification of our human bodies, where death will be swallowed up in victory, where mortal will become immortal. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, there's not one person that's a Christian that'll turn that offer down when it comes. Nobody's going to say, Lord, I'm just going to stay here and go through the tribulation. You go on if you want to. I'm going up. Amen. But we all have to deal with death. So anyway, this time around, if you look at your new lesson sheet, this time around, what's this lesson sheet called? Biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man. What we're trying to do this time around is offer you solutions to how to be victorious when it comes to money, fear, relationships, health, and death. Now, is it going to be, is that a lifelong process? When you think you've got victory over something, will something else show up? When you think you're getting along with everybody, will somebody come along that you're not getting along with? Yeah, I guarantee it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what I tried to do last week in relation to fear is I put this little expression up. More trust is less fear, and less trust creates more fear. Y'all with me? So the more you trust something, the less you have fear, and the less you trust something, the more fear you have relative to what it is you're afraid of. So anyway, I got home last week after teaching and preaching, and the Lord spoke something in my heart. He spoke this phrase into my heart, and it may not be a great sentence, but if he said it, it's got to be right. Here's what he spoke in my heart when I got home. He says, you can't trust what you don't have faith in. How many of you in your life growing up ever watched Olympic figure skating? How many of you out there is old enough to have had a crush on a lady named Dorothy Hamill? John, you remember Dorothy Hamill? Keith, are you too old for that? Remember, Dorothy Hamill had a haircut, and all the ladies got the Hamill, what was it called? The Hamill Camel. Anyway, figure skaters, when they do their routine, they can skate marvelously. I think it's a 3 or 5 minute routine, and they can skate marvelously for 3 to 4 minutes, but for them to be successful and to win the gold medal, they got to finish the landing. They got to finish the landing. Well, last week in my sermon, I didn't feel like I quite finished the landing. I need to make sure you got closure on what it was I was trying to get across. And so we're gonna hit that a little bit, but we're going to talk about it in relation to how to overcome your fear. But remember when you'd watch the figure skaters and when the routine was about to come to an end, boy, they'd build up to a big old, to do a triple saw cow. I think is that a word? Saw cow? Triple saw cow, you know. And so Dorothy Hamill, she'd finish it and twist around, you know, and then she'd get done and she'd go like that, and that announcer would go, "Woo! I think she just won the gold medal." Well, I want y'all to think that same thing when you leave here after listening to this sermon. I think Mark just won the gold medal for teaching about fear. Amen. How many of you did not know about Dorothy Hamill? Had no clue who I was talking about. What's this mean, you can't trust what you don't have faith in? Let's go back to the airplane one more time. I misspoke last week and said that me and Teresa were going to be on the plane this Saturday, or which would have been yesterday, when in reality we're going to be on the plane next Saturday. We're going to get on the plane at the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, which has now become one of the busiest airports in the world because everybody's moving to Phoenix. I don't know why. It's 120. Amen? But anyway, we're going to get on that airplane and we're going to fly from Phoenix to Cincinnati because we have faith in Southwest Airlines. We have faith in the airplane. We have faith in the pilot. We have faith in the statistics. Did you know statistically, the safest mode of transportation is air travel? Now, the reason why when you hear about something happening bad on air travel is because usually when you crash an airplane, usually you die. Thankfully, sometimes you can crash a car and live. How many of you have been in a car crash and you made it out? Obviously you did, or you wouldn't be raising your hand. I tricked you on that, Donnie. We've been in a couple of bad wrecks, and we've survived them. Anyway, you can't have trust if you don't have faith in what it is you're supposed to trust. And that was the point of last week's sermon. If you're going to go to a doctor, we have some doctors in our congregation. I know I pick on them, but they're professional people. Would you want to go to them as your doctor for foot care if you found out they'd never seen any other patients before in their life? Would you want to be going to them for your medical attention? No. Don't you want to know that they've done it before? What's the worst thing you can hear before you're on an operating table and they put you under? This is my first time. I hope it works out. Would that give you a lot of trust? You wouldn't have a lot of trust because you don't have any faith in it. If you go to a financial advisor, which is what I am most of the time, would you want to go to a financial advisor that's broke? You know, one of my complaints I get from clients sometimes, really and truly, I'm not making this up. One of the complaints I get is that, you know, you make too much money. And I'm thinking to myself, would you want to go to a broke financial advisor? How many has ever seen advertisements for fortune telling? Have you seen where the fortune teller does her business? And it's always a woman. You never see a man that's a fortune teller, right? It's always some woman that's going to tell you a fortune. And you go to a fortune teller that's living in some dilapidated shack on the wrong end of town, and she's going to tell you your future. My first question to her would be, what happened to you? If you can tell fortunes, why didn't you pick out the time to buy stock? Say it with me, everybody. You can't trust, say it. You can't trust what you don't have faith in. And that's what's wrong with the church. We haven't developed enough trust in God to release our faith, to believe that He'll take care of our situations. There's a good place for an amen. Now, I don't want to get bogged down in this, but the other side of the coin is a lot of people have misplaced trust in God because they have misplaced faith. In other words, if you think God put you in that situation, then your trust is misplaced because your faith is misplaced. You have to discover that what you're in wasn't God caused. That's a good place for an amen. For 27 years, that's been my central assignment, is to tell you that God didn't cause the trouble. God came to do something about the trouble. But it requires something from us. It's not just up to God. If it was just up to God, we'd have it made. But you have to do something. And I want you to see something. I'm going to teach you something today. I'm going to go on from fear after today. But I'm going to show you how to make it work. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See that? So what has to happen for the word to profit you? See, and here's something else. Here's the other thing the Lord wanted me to do this morning. He wanted me to point out to you what we bring to the table. Did you know you're supposed to be bringing something to the table? If I'm a financial advisor, I ought to be bringing financial advice to the table, right? If I'm a medical doctor, I ought to be bringing my training and my skill to help you get over what it is that's wrong with you. If I'm an airline pilot, I ought to be able to fly that plane from Phoenix to Cincinnati. Are you listening to me? If I'm an excavator, I ought to be able to excavate. If I'm a school teacher, I ought to be able to teach. I'll say it like this too. If I'm a minister and a preacher, I ought to be able to preach and teach. Amen. That's another thing. You ought to have faith and trust in who it is you're receiving the Word of God from. What's being said here is, for the Word to profit you, you have to do something. See that, everybody? For the Word to profit you, you have to do something. What do you have to do? You have to mix your faith with what you hear. And when you mix your faith with what you hear, you are able to identify how you're believing by how you're acting. Oh, man. And again, this is one of the reasons why people have disliked this ministry, is because we don't leave anything for second guess. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. And it can even start from this level. It can even start from the fact that notice they heard the word. See, the fundamental problem is a lot of people's never actually heard the word. And that's one of the reasons why I love being on the radio. I love being on the internet, because I'm telling you, the information that I'm giving out is not mainstream Christian information. We're not leaving it up to God. Listen, I watched a program on Netflix. I have found some very great documentaries on these streaming services. I got to where I can't stand to watch anything secular. But I found some great documentaries on the streaming service relative to sports. I saw something about tennis, and that's why I've gotten all of a sudden interested in tennis, because they followed the tennis circuit for a year, and I got to know some of these people. You know what I mean by got to know them. And then the other day, I came across a documentary on Netflix about quarterbacks. And one of the quarterbacks they talked about was Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings. Anybody ever heard of him? Donnie? You know what they call him? You know what his nickname is? Not able to win in primetime Kirk. How would you like to go to bed every night knowing that's your nickname? That'd be like me having to go to bed knowing Mark can't make a 5-foot putt. Huh? How would you like that nickname? Can't win. Anyway, come to find out this guy is one of the most wonderful Christian men I've ever seen, live and in color. They lost the wild card football game after they'd had one of the best records in the league. They lost the wild card football game to the New York Giants. And they were expected to go deep in the playoffs. So what would the average person do after that game was over? What would you do? I'd go to bed for 2 days. And the last thing I'd want to do is talk to Jordan. No, I'm serious. And I'd have a hard time talking to Teresa. You know what that dude did? They followed him home. You know what he did that night? He went home and read Bible stories to his kids and put them to bed. It's a good place for an amen here, but I'm going to tell you what he prayed. And then you're going to say, oh me. But he prayed. He read Bible stories to them. I think he even made some kind of food or something. Anyway, like I said, I'd been in bed, had the covers over me. You know, because they're going to keep calling me not able to make a putt, Mark. And he prayed a good night prayer for his son. Said, Lord, we're going to go to bed tonight, and we pray for your safety and your protection. We thank you for all of our blessings. And then he said, we thank you for what we know that you're going to have for us, because whatever's going to happen is what you've ordained. And I thought, even the great Christians in the world don't know how God really is. God's not the one that's determining your future. Listen to me, and again, this is emptied out to church. I'm being honest with you. God's not the one that's determining your future. You are. Or you're supposed to get conformed to the Word of God, and then that helps you to discover the will of God, and you prove it in your life by walking it out. Faith is not passive. Faith is not accepting whatever comes your way. Faith is overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Can I get an amen? Now listen, hear me out on this. And this is what I got to grow into, Doc, or Sarge. Doc's back there. Sarge is up. Hear me out on this. Did you know God loves him completely? Did you know God is so impressed that he would come home and read bedtime stories to his kids? You know what his problem is? You know, in my opinion, I think his problem is he's never heard it. Because you can stay in a church your whole life, and that's what's taught everywhere. Donnie and Becky run into it all the time. They minister where they socialize. And the thing that runs people away from them is when they find out that we don't tell them that God did it to them. That runs them off. Because they want to sit there, and they want to drink their beer, and they want to think that God did all this, and somehow or another it'll work out. That's not mixing faith with God's word. And so I think his problem is, I really believe if he ever got acclimated to this information, he'd walk in it. So maybe, who knows, Kirk Cousin will listen on the internet. Anyway, if you're interested in that, James, they follow Kirk Cousins. They follow Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes does some element of praying in this documentary. But I would not say he's a staunch Christian based on his vocabulary. Or his wife's. Have you heard the expression potty mouth? Oh, my Lord, he has a potty mouth when the football game's going on. But he is a competitor. And then the other guy they followed was Marcus Mariota. It's fascinating. It's eight episodes. And so it'd be interesting to watch it. All right, everybody see that? So for indeed, let's say this out loud. Everybody tracking? For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the first step's to hear it. The next step is to hear it and act on it. That's what it is. The first step's to hear it, and then the next step is to hear it and act on it. And because of time and because I got off on these documentaries by these godless streaming services, although listen to me now, in fairness, if you dig deep enough, you can find Christian stuff on there. It's your fault if you stop on something satanic. It's your fault. You don't have to. Amen? All right, so let's use this problem of fear and let's mix our faith with it, or let's show you how to work it. So the first thing we discover, I used this verse before, but the first thing we discover is this, 2 Timothy 1:7. First thing we discover is the will of God. The word we heard reveals to us the will of God. What is it? And by the way, this is to a Christian. This is to believers. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Is that the word of God? Is that being ministered to us? What do we have to do for it to profit us? We have to mix our faith with it. Even that great song we sung this morning, I saw a line in there that's wrong. God didn't make David courageous. You got to hear something. See, to pray and say, God, make me courageous, that's a wasted prayer. He's already gave you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. He already have the power of God on the inside of you. The reason why David was courageous, and because of time, and I'd love to go back there and talk about it, but I can't. Because of time, the reason why David was courageous was because he knew God. If you go back to 1 Samuel 17, you'll find out that all the rest of those Israelites, all those circumcised people, all those children of Abraham, the Bible says that they were not only afraid, they were dreadfully afraid. Why were they dreadfully afraid? And why was the shepherd boy not afraid? Because he knew God. He had seen and heard the word of God. He had watched God empower him to be able to slew the lion and the bear. And he was able to stand in front of that. Most Bible theologians say he stood at least 8 to 10 feet tall. He would have been a star for the Los Angeles Lakers. Hopefully the Phoenix Sun. But he was able to stand in front of him and say, who is that uncircumcised? See, he knew his covenant. He knew his contract. He knew what he belonged to him. He'd heard the word. And he said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God, the same God that slew the lion and the bear and will slay him? Because I'm not doing it for my glory and my honor. I'm doing it because I want the world to know there's a God in Israel. That's my short version of David and Goliath. So what do you got to do? You got to mix your faith with that verse. You got to mix your faith with that verse. Then you have to discover and repeat in your mind and in your heart the truths you find out about God, that he is truly with you and for you. He tells Joshua in Joshua 1:9. Now watch this now. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Listen very carefully. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Say this with me. Do not be afraid. Say it with me. Do not be afraid. Is God going to make you not afraid? No. Is God going to make you courageous? No. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You got to mix your faith with what God says. Say that with me. I got to mix my faith with what God says. Say it. I have to mix my faith with what God says. So again, that creates a dilemma. It's a twofold dilemma. The first dilemma is most people don't know what God has said. They've heard what the preacher said. They've heard what the Sunday school teacher said. They've heard what the world said, but they haven't heard what God has said. See, God has said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Why? 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 For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's how you're supposed to teach and preach to the church. Do you know that? You don't get up here and say, oh, it's just so hard. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I can't believe Joe Biden's president. I can't either. I can't either, but it's just so pitiful. Well, it is pitiful. But God's with us wherever we go. God's with us in America, anywhere. Amen. God's with us. Notice that God tells you that He's with you, and then it's your choice to decide if you're going to be afraid or courageous. And that's why people don't like me. I'm talking about in general terms. I'm talking about the church world, because they want to leave it up to God. And I'm here to tell you that God's already told you what His deal is. His deal is, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Your deal is, you got to believe it and walk in it. Even when you're afraid. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when it don't look like it. You got to take God at His word. Have I not commanded you? Look at what it says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Look at this. And we're not going to focus much on verse 5, but I wanted to get them both together. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. This is also dealing with the concept of money. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Here it is. For He Himself, this is talking about Jesus, and He said this before He went up to heaven. He said it in Matthew, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What word have you heard? What word have you heard? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in quotes, isn't it? Who are they quoting? Who are they quoting? Some politician? Huh? Who are they quoting? The director of the FBI? Is that who they're quoting? No, no. Who are they quoting? The president of Russia? That president in Ukraine? That wears those jumpsuits? That doesn't account for $130 billion that we've sent over there? Is that who we're talking about? No, no. We're talking about the Word of God, the actual living Word of God. What did He say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say it with me. I will never leave you nor forsake. How do I make that work for me? I mix my faith with it. And if I really and truly mix my faith with it, whatever it is I'm afraid of, I have to overcome. I got to sling that rock at that giant. He's 10 foot tall, but God's bigger than him. I got to get on that airplane. Are you listening to me? If I start boarding the plane and they tell me one of the engines is out, now that might change my attitude. But generally speaking, you got to do whatever it is that you're afraid of, that you're physically or mentally or emotionally afraid of, and walk by faith and not by sight. And if we could get people schooled this direction, if we could get people schooled this way, acclimated this way, we'd see more power in the body of Christ. No doubt about it. You're not going to see complete victory because there's all kinds of intangibles. There's all kinds of variables. But you would see way more victory than you see now because you'd see that people are actually operating their lives in line with God's word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what do you do in verse 6? What do you do in verse 6? So we may boldly say, you never know what God's going to do. So we may boldly say, I don't know why God's doing this, but everything happens for a reason. Yeah, the reason it happens is because we let it happen. Don't shout me down now. So we may boldly say, what do we boldly say? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That'll bring in that fifth thing, death. See, that means you were not afraid of dying because what can man do to you? What's the worst thing that a man can do to you? Kill you. And if you're in Christ, you'll depart and be with him, which is what? Far better. Did y'all see that? So it says, so we may boldly say. If it says we may boldly say, we better say it, hadn't we? Let's do it. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm going to throw a verse at you now that's, takes some maturity to receive it, but it's in the Bible. It's Revelation 21:8. It's a humorous verse because it's humorous for one reason. I used to read this verse, and a lady that used to come to our church, I guess I have a southern accent a little bit, Lucy. Did you notice that? I do have a little southern twang. They'll ask me a lot of times, you know, where are you from? I always like to tell them Bronx, New York, or Massachusetts. Where do you think I'm from? I'm from the backwaters of, anyway. I'm Daniel Boone. Davy Crockett's Tennessee, Sarge. Let me get you to get that right. Daniel Boone was a man, a real man, when he fought with his hands. How many ever watched Daniel Boone? Fess Parker. Come on now. Keith, you catch Daniel Boone never on TV? This is something that has to be pointed out, that it's a misrepresentation of God. See, and by the way, this is Revelation 21:8. This is after the great white throne judgment that you're not going to be a part of. The only judgment the church will be under is the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a judgment to determine whether you're in. You're already in. When you're in the judgment seat of Christ line, you're already in. You can hoop and holler and shout and jump even if you know Jesus is going to scold you for only doing it halfway or partway or hardly no way. But you're in the right line. How many of you know it's fun to be in the right line? I'll tell you a line old daddy will never be in again is a Disney World or a Disneyland line. You won't catch me there, and not just because they've gone woke, but because it's false advertisement. Because even if you get a fast pass, it don't mean you wait in that line for another 15 or 30 hours. Can I get an amen? If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. Stay away from there. Spend your money somewhere else. Get you a hotel on the beach and enjoy God's wondrous creation, but try your best to stay away from sharks. Now they're after us. One more thing. They've even taken the beach from us. You know sharks are attacking people on an unusual level. And I know I'm preaching faith, but I'm going to tell you, before I dip my toe in that water, I'm going to find out and make sure that great white ain't out there. All right, here it is. Now this word, this is the word that the girl made fun of me because I couldn't say it, so I have to say it slow. But the cowardly, I think I said cowardly, and she asked her mom after church, she said, what's a cowardly? I said, you put it in a stew. It's real good. You mix it with some roast beef and you have some curdly stew. She said, but what that word really means is fearful, afraid. See, notice, this is unbelievable. It is believable. It's in the scriptures. Being afraid is on the same level as being an unbeliever abominable, a murderer, a sexually immoral, a sorcerer, those high-class fortune tellers, idolaters, and all liars. So there's another side to this. Does anybody alive want to stand before God based on what you've done? You better not, because don't tell me you ain't lied. Don't tell me you ain't lied. I've prepared taxes. I've had people tell me they went to the Salvation Army and donated $1,500 worth of clothes and material. And I said, what'd you give them? Four shirts? You know what the IRS says those four shirts are worth? At a most, $12 a piece. You got a $48 deduction. You can't itemize. Shut up. So one side of this is nobody wants to stand before God and say, you know, I never lied. I was never an idolater. Come on now. Somebody said, I was never a murderer. Well, I don't think anybody in here has ever killed anybody, but there's some people we wouldn't mind if they were dead. We want one of them to stay alive, because if he does die, oh my Lord, what about that other person? The point of this is that being afraid is in the same classification with things that all of us agree is sinful. And you got to man up to it. You understand? And I'm not talking about not ministering in love with people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pointing out, though, that sooner or later, you got to, in the immortal words of Andrew Womack, you got to take your thumb out of your mouth. And you have to stand against whatever it is you're afraid of. Are you with me? See, I fly by airplane. I do. And I'll keep flying by airplane. Because the alternative is not fun. Driving in a car for 27 hours. Can you say amen or oh me? Can you apply this to your life? I don't know what it is. You know, some people are afraid to go outside. Some people are afraid to leave their region, to leave their town. You know, there's so many people that haven't achieved what God called them to achieve because they let fear dominate them. And we are not of those who are fearful and draw back, but we are those who believe. Can I get an amen? And then we're encouraged. I got to bring this to a conclusion. We are encouraged in the scriptures that what we are coming to is somebody that we can have complete trust in. Let's put the phrase that the Lord spoke in my heart. I don't want to get home today and him tell me I didn't get it finished. I want to move on to relationships. Let's remember this phrase. You can't trust what you don't have faith in. Say it, everybody.
You can't trust what you don't have faith in.
Can you trust God?
Amen.
You can if you've heard the right information about him. Don't forget that. You can if you've heard the right information about him. If you think he's involved in your fear, then you don't have the right information about him. He does not want us to be afraid of anything. I got to throw this in because he spoke this to me. Remember, the thing that astonished Jesus the most, and I don't have much time, but I want to get this said. In the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go back and look these things up. The thing that astonished him the most was people's lack of faith. It's what astonished him the most. He was asleep. He'd been ministering all day. They put him in a boat. He went on the back of the boat, fell asleep, got some rest. While he was sleeping, the devil tried to kill him and them and the apostles. The devil tried to do it. I can't turn there because of time. A storm came up. That points out something else. Natural disasters are not God caused. It's not acts of God to have tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and excessive heat. Are you listening to me? The devil comes while he's sleeping and tries to kill him. A massive storm comes up. The apostles, that famous crew we talked about last week that couldn't figure out how he was going to feed 4,000 people after he'd fed 5,000. Remember that from last week? I hope y'all go back and listen to these. Remember, I told you I never finish a sermon. I never finish. I just pick it right back up. So this storm, and they're about to die. They're in peril. They're in jeopardy. And they wake him up and they say this, and I know we've all said this. I know we have. I know I have, and I'm supposed to be a faith preacher. They woke him up and they said, "Don't you care that we perish?" You said that to him. "Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you know what's happening? Can't you see how bad it is?" He gets up. He rebukes the storm and the sea. And then he looks at him and he says, "How is it that you have no faith? How can that be possible? I'm on the boat. I'm the creator of everything. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's nothing impossible with me. And yet you want to know, don't you care if we perish?" Again, it's not a popular sermon, but it's a powerful sermon. I'm going to get a gold medal from heaven today. They're going to crown me with a gold medal because I preach what God told me to preach. And I believe, and through the miracle of the internet, this is available to anybody that will go on lifeinchristchurch.net and listen to it. One of the great stories in the Bible, he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he leads them up on the mountain. What's that tell you about him? He's in shape. He's physically fit. He didn't overeat. He's a physically fit man. He can go up on a mountain. He leads Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. Obviously, they must have had enough stamina to get to the top of the mountain. That's why he took them. Well, probably that, and they were part of his innermost circle. Are you with me? And while they're up there on the mountain, his face radiates, his clothes radiate. They see who he really is. And Moses and Elijah comes and talks to him. And then a cloud overshadows them. A holy Shekinah glory cloud of God overshadows them. And out of that cloud a voice speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Praise God. And Peter validates it in his epistle and says, "We were with him on the holy mountain. We were with him. We were there. We saw that." This is not a wise tale. This is not something somebody made up. Somebody actually saw God manifested in the earth through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. That all happens, man. Now listen, another side of that. You think that's the first time that happened to Jesus? No, he would go up on a mountain all the time and get along with his Father. But he let mankind see it. And he comes down off the mountain, and when he comes down out of the mountain, they're down there and they're full of some demon-possessed boy they can't cast the devil out of. You know what Jesus says? "Oh, that's all right. This was all part of a plan God had. Just hold on to God. It's just, here, boys, grab a hold of my head and hold on to it. It's unchanging." You know what he says to him? You know what he says to him? "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long do I have to put up with this? Because where I'm from, everybody believes in the living God who gives to all men liberally and without reproach." I'm telling you, if we'd preach this way and teach this way, we'd have a dynamic supernatural church. We would. We'd have a dynamic supernatural church. So let me give you these verses. Now they'll make more sense. Now we'll make more sense. I'll even settle for a silver medal, Mary. I'll take a silver. I don't want a bronze, though. I want at least a silver or gold. That's my biggest problem. I want everybody to say, "Mark, you are the best." And I'm in a profession where nobody says that. "What are you talking about? You can't be talking about that." Yes, I can. God is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Here you go, real quick. I got to quit. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There it is. Is that the word of God? Is that the word of God? Have you heard the word? What do you got to do with it? Mix your faith with it. You can't just stay on the couch. Amen. You can't just succumb to the fear. You got to go to the throne of grace boldly, knowing that he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The thing that always confuses me is it makes so much sense. You just wonder why so many people are resistant to it. I wish I could tell you that resistance is futile. And then we go to this verse in Hebrews 10:22. Stand up on your feet. I'm done for a minute. I'm done till for 2 weeks. I'm done. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about relationships. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Here it is. Say these words. In full assurance of faith. How are you going to get to full assurance of faith? Somebody's going to have to preach it to you. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Somebody's going to tell it to you. Amen. Now you can hear it on your own by reading the word and saying the word and hearing the word and saying the word, or picking it up on the internet by some TV minister or preacher or radio man or whatever. But you're going to have to hear it. And then when you hear it, you'll draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to lead y'all in a prayer of confession, and I'm doing it for myself. Y'all know when I say y'all, I mean me too. Y'all know that, right? I'm in the same world you're in. I watch the same corruption you watch. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need to walk by faith and not by sight, just like you do. Lift your hands to heaven without wrath or doubting and say this. Say this. Dear God, Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I've heard the word. I've heard that you'll never leave me or forsake me. I've heard you command me to be courageous and to not be afraid. So in the name of Jesus, I speak to my mind, I speak to my body, I speak to the devil, I speak to the world, and I proclaim, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm mixing my faith with the known will of God. And it's not your will for me to be afraid. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, man. Oh. Oh, man. The presence of the Holy Spirit is on all of us right now. He's on all of us right now. I hope you have enough spiritual sense to know that. Woo. He's operating in you right now. See, that'll release the power of God in your life right there. That'll do it. That'll do it. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He'll be like one of them lions and bears. I'm going to throw this rock at him, and he's going to fall, and I'm going to cut his head off in the name of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening by radio or internet, man, you picked a good time to turn the radio to 92.3. And I want to tell you right now, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Time's shorter than it used to be. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but it's shorter than it was because he's coming back, and you might as well give your heart and life to him right now. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard the gospel. I've heard about Jesus, and I want to receive him. I confess with my mouth because I believe in my heart that Jesus is God. That he died for my sins and he rose from the dead for my salvation. By faith, I declare with boldness that right now I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, you'd make our hearts sing if you'd contact us. Let us know you prayed that prayer. Like we've been telling you before, if you really and truly don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. Because all this stuff I've been teaching this morning, I didn't get it out of Life magazine or Sports Illustrated or some library book at the Sierra Vista Library. I got it out of the Holy Bible. It's the Word of God. It's life to those that find it. It's health to all their flesh. So we'll get you a Bible if you need it. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. We'll see y'all back in 2 weeks. Brother Al will be here next Sunday ministering under the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.